there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. Because Rong Chen, the CEO of Elastos, at our event last night delivered, I've decided to use his speech in tonight's podcast. For those of you that aren't based in London, that didn't have the opportunity to come down last night, I thought you'd all gain some value from listening to what he spoke about. He spoke exceptionally well, so I'm looking forward to showing you guys and delivering the content he spoke about last night in a second. But I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that came down. We really appreciate it. The event was rocking. I thought that everyone asked really great questions. I was actually quite surprised how many people were holding Elastos. I would say 60% of the room were holding Elastos, and 40% of the room actually participated in their ICO a while back now. So that was great to see. It was great to see the engagement. And I think I know for a fact, the Elastos guys were blown away by the understanding. And when I say live, I mean we're coming live. So I think the Elastos guys were blown away from the understanding of the London community, not only from a tech point of view, but also from a point of view of the fundamental strategy and where Elastos is going and how we can help here in London. So I was just blown away by that, and I know they were as well. So I want to say a big thank you once again. Listen, with that in mind, let's jump to hear from the man himself, Rong Chen, the CEO of Elastos.
About EOS, right? And Elastos actually has a last, the word in between E and OS. So I'll just start from there. E, last OS, right? What do you mean by that? There's the news. 2018 March, Microsoft disbanded its Windows team. No more Windows. So Windows 10 will be the last OS ever. And I know a lot of people sounds like it's a surprise. Actually, it's a news from March. Okay, it's been half a year. Oh no, 3-4 months. Think about it. I mean, we don't have time to go into all the details. But what I'm saying is, such a big enterprise getting rid of its bread and butter, what must mean something. Even though, you know, the stock is doing okay, but then the company is dying, and people kind of thrown upon on Microsoft, but then they deserve some research, right? Like Xerox was the one invented Windows. It's not Apple, it's not Microsoft, it's Xerox. Xerox, you know, nobody's talking about Xerox no more, but then it deserves the respect, okay? That's the first message I'm passing through. The why it's last is because of when we talk about the internet. I mean, internet, when you have a ambient computing, edge computing, with your mobile device, you want to use the projector, or you want to use the smart speaker in your neighborhood, in your surroundings, can you dictate the device driver on the projector? Can you dictate the device driver on your smart speaker? Which is, the answer is obviously no, right? So, but then previous operating systems requires matching device drivers. Without matching device drivers, which means the smart device could interrupt with your peripherals anytime, anywhere. Definitely the first thing is you cannot have version numbers. If you don't have version numbers, then it'll be the everlasting operating system, okay? Just like, the message I want to pass through. And secondly, OS. What is the OS? OS actually is something to run. I mean, if we talk about apps, apps need an environment to execute. So when you talk about apps, without talking about the running environment, you cannot run apps. Because people are talking about dApps, the decentralized apps. Whether it's apps or decentralized apps, they are apps. Okay? So when you run apps, you need an execution environment. That's where we introduce something called Elastos or Runtime OS, which is the one for virtual machines, which I will elaborate a little bit more. So the question is, what are those dApps? What is the app? Well, we have to come back to the common senses. Before I talk about a blockchain, which I really don't want to spend too much time on blockchain, we have to talk about common sense. Okay? When we talk about the internet, long time ago, we have a notion, actually in 1992, the inventor of Java programming language came up with the slogan calling the network is the computer. I don't know, in the audience, maybe there's someone senior enough remember this motto there. The network is the computer. And then before that, 1969, the internet was the project first launched. The research project launched in 1969, which is almost 70 years ago, long time ago, okay? And if we think about it, the current technology we're using, the TCP/IPs, the UDPs, and also the operating systems that we know of, Linux, the predecessor of Linux was called Unix. Unix was invented by Bell Labs of United States, which the project started, conceived in 1970. Okay? And that's also almost, that's not 70 years ago. The internet is about 50 years ago, right? So the internet, the operating system, both are about 60 years old now. No, so 50 years now, right? And if we think about the IT industry has progressed that much, but our infrastructure is just as old as about 40 years ago. When I went to the United States in 1984, that's when TCP/IP was released, when the name of the internet was named after the ARPANET, when the Unix was first open source, when the object-oriented programming was state of art, in 1984, which is also a funny name, 1984. And so we think about it, the infrastructure we're using is just as old, as clumsy, as error-prone, you know, virus-prone. Because of, at that time, the founding fathers of the internet decided the internet should be decentralized. Anyone with the IP address with the server could hook up to the internet and adding one more node to the internet. Everyone, no matter which country you're from, no matter what origin you're from, you're okay, right? With a server, you hook up to the internet, which makes this internet so popular today. But on the other hand, if you think anybody can connect a server to it, of course, you know, those cheaters, the robbers, those. Anything goes, right? Anybody can fake the identity of someone else. So that's why slowly, instead of having the websites of different opinions and different origin and express their opinions and selling their products, now we're all going back to the big brothers for protection. Because there's no way we can tell who's real, who's not. So we have to ask the big brothers to protect us. Who are the big brothers? Those guys who charge 30% for the security guarantees that you have, correct? And how can we give back the power and give back the monetizing capability to the original authors? So then I'll talk about what is a dApp, right? And on the internet, since first thing to guarantee security, we have to establish an ID. Without ID, we cannot tell who's real, who's not. Internet deserves an ID system. But then who is giving out IDs? Is Apple capable, or Microsoft, or Android for that matter, right? But then who is the bigger brother here? Then can we use the blockchain to issue IDs? That's the question number one. Because the blockchain, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, we know it's running autonomously. You know, like miners to mine Bitcoins, the sad effect of it is to manage a so-called ledger. And then the ledger is running kind of autonomously without any central organizations to control over it. Let's say if that's possible, anybody can apply a wallet out of blockchain and no one can revoke that wallet. Can we use that wallet ID as the internet ID? Right? That's the question you ask yourself. And before that, you have to ask another question. People talk about blockchain. People talk about blockchain being decentralized, being distributed, which is really, logically speaking, a false statement. I repeat, a ledger being decentralized is a false statement. We are managing, blockchain is managing one ledger. One ledger has nothing to do with decentralized or distributed. One ledger without an intermediary, we just have more trust in that ledger. The ledger itself has nothing to do with decentralization because linguistic, the common sense, one person cannot be decentralized. One ledger cannot be decentralized. How many people ask this question, right? I mean, everybody can just take for granted saying, okay, blockchain is decentralized. What? Decentralization only to decentralize the multi-parties. On the internet, we have Apple, we have Google, we have Microsoft, we have Amazon, we have Verizon, we have Orange. Who is the bigger brother? Then they need to be decentralized. Right? The parties on the internet need to be decentralized. The ledger itself cannot be decentralized. That's the message I'm talking about. So we have to say a bigger picture is the internet. It's not the ledger itself, but the ledger makes the internet, if you think about it, currently the internet is autonomously running. No one can shut down the internet. No matter how hard you try, you can turn off your computer, you can turn off Amazon servers. But then if you turn off Amazon servers, there's someone else's server is running, right? Unless you shut all the computer, shut all power down of the on Earth, you can shut down the internet. Otherwise, the internet is running. But then autonomous running doesn't give us security, doesn't allow us to do business. On the internet, no one is owning digital assets. And you know, people think about China, right? There are lots of biases or, different perceptions of China. At least one thing is true. In 1978, China decided to open up. And when I went to college, actually, they decided to let individuals to have personal properties. Before 1978, no one in China owns any personal property. No one owns cars, no one owns apartments, no one owns even a TV. I mean, I take it back, people own some TVs, but then it's not, no one allowed to open up their own business at that time. So allow people to own personal assets is a key to the modernization of China today. But if you think about the internet, no one on the internet is owning any personal property. If you buy a paper book from Amazon, you can decide to resell it. You can give it to someone else, right? But if you buy an ebook from Amazon, you cannot resell it. You cannot give it to someone else. If you cannot decide on this property you acquired, it's not really your property. You just leased it for your lifetime. You cannot pass on to your offsprings. So can we build digital assets on the internet? It's a bigger picture, right? With a security guarantee, then the next thing is, can we build the digital assets? Having people to own personal properties. That's a really, really huge statement that we're talking about here. So first of all, decentralized internet, given this blockchain, autonomous running blockchain to issue IDs, then we can finally maybe having the internet, build another internet, which every user would have an ID. Every website would have an ID. Every digital asset would have an ID. That's called a decentralized ID. And secondly, on this decentralized IDs, with a ledger, we can have provenance. We can keep track of who's doing what, who is writing an ebook, who is making a movie. Can we take a hash of the movie and record it on the blockchain? So then there's a notary public. Very cheap notary public proves that you are the original author on Earth. If somebody take a snippet out of your movie, and you can prove, at least to the audience of the world, saying you are the original author, correct? And which is readily available if we have a public chain there. Thirdly, the public chain, which with a set chain, we can issue tokens. Like for Bitcoin, we have 21 million Bitcoins. Every 10 minutes, some Bitcoins change hands. But then there are always that many Bitcoins. If you're thinking after 2040, after all the Bitcoins are mined. So every 10 minutes, only some Bitcoins change hands, but they are the Bitcoins, they are no more, no less. So they stay the same. It's as if you had books, you issue 10,000 copies of your book circulating on the internet, and we have a set chain keep track of 10,000 tokens, and every 10 minutes, you no more, no less, the books can change hands. That's called a scarcity of digital merchandise. Beyond that, we're talking about what is the value. If you give me a book, person to person, you're giving me a piece of value. You purchased 100 euros and you gave it to me, right? That's worth something. In order to give me something, anything valuable, you cannot give me the data. If you give me the ebook, if you give me a H.264 movie, I can copycat, I can freely distribute, then you cannot resell it. In order to resell that digital property, what I'm saying is there are only two things on the hard drive. One is called data, the other one is called code. The last internet was internet of information. With a URL you click, you get a web page. Then that's data. If you, on the social network, you can share your photo, you can share your video, but in order to share value, what I'm saying is you have to share code. The code, every time you share between people, it's repackaged with the metadata built in, who is getting a share for the distribution, right? If it's sold for 100 euro, do I get a 1%, 2% cut? You know, repackage that. What's the history of this book? It's like the artwork in the British Museum. We have a history. Who was the original author? Who is the second owner? Who is the third owner? You know, you have a history of that packaged in the metadata. And people along the line not only keep the history, they can get a cut of the sales. So what I'm saying is sharing value is sharing code. And I'll answer more questions. Sharing code with the current operating system, you share viruses, correct? How do you get rid of viruses? And also, more importantly, when you load that piece of code, because the loader, operating system has a loader, will check against the blockchain. Do you still own it? If you own it, I let you play. It's not like the old operating system, you can play your office a million times, as many times as you wish. But then if every time you load something, you check against the blockchain, that's where the scarcity being enforced. Not only we have to have the accounting of the number of tokens, we have to enforce, we have to have the digital property when they circulation in circulation, they have to abide by the rules dictated by the original author. So that's where the operating system is super, super important. Okay? So there are four kinds of dApps. The media player being manipulating the data. Right? How many times the movie being played? The secondly, the website up using the data people contribute and change the orders and change the way it's presented. Thirdly, the carrier, the smart home carriers may take the liberty of broadcasting your private video onto the internet. Can we get rid of the media players, get rid of the website's middleman, get rid of the carriers being the middleman? So those are the paramount, more important issues than smart contract. Smart contract, to my mind, is the fourth kind of decentralized apps. So I'll finish my talk right here. I'll answer more questions after the talk. Thank you.
Well, you heard it there from the man himself, delivering as Elastos does. Once again, big thank you for your time and attention for tuning in to tonight's show. We appreciate it. We know you guys are all super, super busy, but I hope that you gain some value from listening from Rong, and I hope you guys are now, if you weren't already, more up to speed with Elastos and Rong himself, because, I mean, the guy is a mastermind. He's a genius. He's one of the top influential crypto guys out there from a tech point of view. I mean, he's on it, and he has a great understanding for the space, so that's phenomenal. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Remember to follow us on all our socials. Our Telegram has just gone past 1,000 members, so I want to say a big thank you to everyone listening who's joined our Telegram. And remember, if you haven't already, you've always got the opportunity to join this SVK Space crowd. The Telegram is where it goes down. It's where you need to be. Follow us on Twitter as well, at @SVK_crypto, and hit me up. My email is cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. With that in mind, have a phenomenal day. Phenomenal morning, phenomenal afternoon, phenomenal evening, wherever you're listening to this in the world. We appreciate your time and attention. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.